Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org. Wherever podcasts can be found. Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. This week we are doing the language departments. This one specifically is the Spanish department. And I am joined by
Sarah Anderson, Spanish teacher.
So you said you taught Spanish. Do you teach specific levels of Spanish?
Well, I've taught Spanish in a lot of different ways. I started teaching in Spanish to little kids in bilingual programs where they have to move to English. So my job was to like teach them reading and writing and math, mostly in Spanish and then part of the day in English. So I've done that. And then I worked in like a bilingual program where you have English speaking kids and it was kindergarten. So English speaking kindergartners and Spanish speaking kindergartners. And then I did the Spanish side. So I would see 50 kids and we would do math and science and Spanish. And then when I moved to Indiana, I started teaching like middle school Spanish world languages type deal. And then they started their program where Spanish 1 would be in 8th grade. And then I started teaching Spanish 1. And I only taught Spanish 1 forever. And now last year I taught Spanish 3. And this year I'm teaching Spanish 2 and 1. And I don't think I'll ever have to do the upper levels, but I think they'll just use me wherever they need me.
Yeah, they kind of have switched around the Spanish department in recent years, haven't they? How long have you been teaching just Spanish in general?
This is my 20-something year of teaching. I forgot. I also was like an administrator for a while, too.
Really?
Oh, I know. At an arts education center. It wasn't Spanish-focused. That's why I forgot about it. But so off and on, I've been teaching in some capacity for 22 years, 21 years.
It's a lot of teaching.
It's just old people stuff. Someday you'll get there, man.
one day.
Maybe.
Why'd you choose to learn and teach Spanish?
Gosh, it was a long time ago. I can't remember why I took Spanish in high school, but it was kind of fun. My Spanish teacher was crazy and actually a really bad teacher. He was from Spain, and whenever we'd ask him about anything, he'd be like, it just is that way. So I don't know why I kept going in college, except that, I don't know, I took the AP exam and I got some credit. So I thought, well, I'll just get a minor at least. I liked the teachers so much there and I liked the different topics and I liked all the ideas of things that I could do. And I liked the idea of traveling abroad. So I decided, well, I'll just keep going with this. And that was pretty fun. You guys are much more focused than I am. I have to say I was not like entirely. I thought I was going to be an archaeologist for a long time.
See, you say you guys, I dropped Spanish myself. So,
well, and that's okay because it's the thing is, I don't really care if people learn Spanish. I think we need to be curious about language. And I think learning another language helps us understand our language, and our brains are specifically set up for language. It's like what our brains are set up to do from when we're little is to communicate and engage with people. And even though language is only one aspect of that, it's such a huge aspect and it occupies so much of our brain that, I don't know, I think taking another language really makes you understand your own language better, understand the purpose of language better. It makes you a better communicator, which is helpful for everybody.
That's nice. Do you find it difficult to teach students Spanish?
No. I think some topics are harder than others. And there definitely is, and not as much as my Senora Mesto wanted to say there was. There definitely are some things that you just have to accept on fact that that's just how it is. But for most of it, I think there are good, I've lost the word. Parallels between what we already know and what we're building onto. I think anyone can learn another language. I don't think anybody's incapable of it unless they're incapable of language in general. But and even then, people learn other ways to communicate. So I wouldn't say that it's hard. I actually think it's pretty fun, especially the first year. because you don't know anything. You just know the door is Spanish. And then by the time you're out the door, you can say a couple sentences. It's a big deal. It's exciting.
Yeah. What have you found difficult when teaching it? Like what certain aspects?
Oh, sometimes it's been a long time since I've used the grammar. And so then I have to like reteach myself the reasons behind the grammar instead of just doing it. And then I have to be able to do it incorrectly. And that's hard too, trying to say the incorrect things when it's something that you know very well. And then, oh, cause there's lots of different words in Spanish. So a lot of the vocabulary that is more common is not necessarily the vocabulary that I use. So I always have to check myself and make sure I'm speaking more general type Spanish to the class.
Yeah. What parts would you say are really easy to teach or that you have a very easy time with?
I really like a lot of grammar in Spanish, and there's some things that I think are a much more logical way of saying things. So I'm trying hard. There's lots of things that I like, but specifically right now, I really like in Spanish the fact that when I'm going to describe something, and if I'm going to use like a noun with that, so if I'm going to say it's a fat dog, in Spanish, I would say dog fat. And I just think it makes so much more sense to say what you're thinking of first and then describe it so that the person can get like a, I think with pictures, so they can get like a base picture in their head and add to it. I always love teaching that because I just think it makes way more sense than the English way.
That's always nice. Why do you think students should take and learn Spanish specifically?
Well, specifically, okay, language in general, I think we should just learn it. I think it's interesting and fun and it expands our brain. And I think there's a lot of research about being able to problem solve better and use both sides of your brain just from learning more than one language. But Spanish specifically is particularly easy to learn because it is phonetic. So our language is not at all phonetic in any way. Spanish is. Like, if you can pronounce the letter one time, you can pronounce it in almost every word you see. Like, there's very few exceptions and things to learn. So I think getting good at pronunciation quickly can actually be very possible and makes people feel a lot more confident in the beginning too. Whereas with French, like it's kind of like English where there's lots of different rules and it's hard to remember them all.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Spanish too, I was told it would be like 40% of all Americans would be able to speak Spanish by the year 2030, I believe.
Oh yeah.
It was 40% or 60%, but it was a lot. Would be able to speak Spanish.
Well, it's really interesting too, and we're seeing it here in Pendleton. Yes, we've always had plenty of people who speak Spanish because half of Mexico is now part of the United States. So
yeah,
we have that. We have immigrants. But we're seeing it in Pendleton now. We haven't really had a lot of Spanish speakers in Pendleton, and now Spanish speakers are coming into Pendleton, and I think it will change culturally quite a bit. And I grew up in a place where there were lots of people from lots of different countries, and I find it very exciting. And I'm excited to eat more Venezuelan food, although I really do wish we had more Mexican people in Indiana. Even though there are Mexican restaurants, I really just want the corn that you dip in the mayonnaise and you put the cheese on. I used to be able to get it where I lived, and it's elote, and I miss it.
Yeah,
I have to make it at home. It's complicated.
I believe it. It actually kind of sounds complicated.
Well, I'd rather just have someone do it.
Yeah.
Seems so much easier. Or they're calling it Mexican street corn. If you've had that where they like take an ear of corn and they put chili powder on it and cheese and all the good stuff, it makes corn really delightful. And corn is already so good.
Yeah. So I guess you'd say Spanish is more useful here in America than learning French or German.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to boil it down to that, but sure. Practically, Will you use Spanish more often? Yeah, I use Spanish a lot outside of my job. Whereas I would say with the German teacher and the French teacher, it's probably not as common. I got a free book at a thrift store a month ago or something because I translated what item they wanted to buy to the people who ran the store. And then my son wanted to get a book and they said, no, you can just have it for free. Thank you for helping. So like that was just here. And if I think about all the times in my life where Spanish has been useful, then yeah, it's probably more practical.
Yeah. A lot of workplaces will, if it's on your resume that you can speak Spanish, even a little bit enough to understand it, they'll be like, you'll have a likelihood of getting a job.
If you get hired because you speak Spanish or you speak some Spanish, you better ask for more money. You better ask for that pay differential. Mm-hmm.
Because it's really useful. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Have you ever been to a Spanish-speaking country or a country where their main language is Spanish?
Oh, yeah. I lived a year in Ecuador, and then I've been to Spain, and I've been to Mexico. But I haven't gotten to travel a lot of other places, which is really disappointing in terms of Spanish-speaking countries. So I have some on my list, but we're not there yet.
Which of the three was your favorite?
I love Mexico, like, a lot. Like, Mexico's great. Because space-wise, what a beautiful piece of land. Like, gorgeous. But probably I had the most fun in Ecuador because I got to be there the longest and do more things. And they have the Galapagos Islands and the Amazon rainforest and all these things that you've heard about or seen in your science books. But then you get to go experience and it's really exciting.
It does sound really fun. Like, actually, you've learned about it. Now you get to go see it.
Yeah. Like, if you ever loved the Charles Darwin and you thought about, like, the Galapagos and you're like, oh, the tortoises and the birds that he tracked. The finches, Darwin's finches, like, they are not afraid of people. They haven't been hunted. So if you want to go see them, you get the up close and personal experience. And it is pretty incredible.
That's nice. How often during the day would you say you use Spanish?
It's first year. So not a ton right now. They're actually doing really good, though. Like, if my first year students listen to this podcast, like, really impressed with them. I was worried. I don't know, 30% of the day.
So about 30% of your entire day, you'd say you use Spanish.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like it, but that is quite a decent portion of the day.
Well, we have a lot of Spanish speakers who I'm kind of a point person to help with questions. So when they're in my class and I'm teaching them English, we're not doing Spanish. But when it's passing period and they need to know what this means or they need someone to go down to the office, then... Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was in your classroom the other day and they were asking about me. Of course, I could not keep up, but that was just really
interesting. Oh, well, that's not your fault either. I am watching a bunch of TikToks and YouTube videos and I'm trying to find some Venezuelan, like, telenovelas that I can watch because Venezuelan Spanish, super fun. Like, so many words that I was like, huh. I've never heard that word, or I have heard that word, and that's a bad word. And why are you just saying it in the middle of class? It's not bad in Venezuela. All righty then. So it's been an education for me, too. So in terms of fast, yeah, they're fast speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the slang, so much slang. And also if...
Well, that actually brings us to the end of my questions, because I've completely run out of them. That happens a lot, honestly. But thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of WEEM Weekly. Our next segment, I believe, is Brooklyn with the German exchange teachers that were here a while ago.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That's a really exciting one. I haven't watched it personally, but I will when this
episode
comes out.
And Mr. Stevens is going to come talk about French.
That's very true.
By the way, French is the best language in the world, and we all know this.
That'll be in two segments. And I don't know if Brooklyn or I are doing that. Hmm. I think we might have a special guest do that one. Or it'll be me. Guess you guys will have to find out, won't you? Anyway, thank you for joining me for this segment. Yeah. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you guys also have a great day. Stay tuned for German, and Brooklyn will be with you shortly.
Now here's a short promotion before our next interview.
91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station. We provide everything from programming to music to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. but we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the station that the students operate here on 917 WEEM. Donate today at 917WEEM.org. Again, that is 917WEEM.org.
Hi, and welcome back to the 917 WEEM WEEM Weekly Podcast. I'm Brooklyn Schuyler, and I'm joined by...
I'm Christopher.
And Daniel Riede from Germany.
And this is our episode about languages. So you'll hear from the Spanish teachers, the French teachers, and our German...
Exchange teachers,
yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, I'm a teacher from Germany. In Germany, I teach biology and math. I'm here with the GAP program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also a teacher from Germany, teaching English and history in Germany. And we're here with a group of 10 students from Germany who enjoy school life here.
Yeah. And by English, this might be a really stupid question, but by English, do you mean like English as in the
as
language
a foreign
you're speaking?
As a foreign language.
Oh, okay. What would you guys call your, like, ELA class then? Or, like, grammar classes?
Well, we're teaching grammar and idioms and also cultural life of the United States and Great Britain and other parts of the world.
Okay. And then what is the exchange program? Can you explain a little bit about what it is and how it works?
Yeah, it's like a twofold exchange program. The American students visited us last summer during July, and they spent 2 weeks in Germany with our students, and now we are back here with our students, and they visit their American partners.
Awesome.
The official name of the program is called GAP. It stands for German-American Partnership Program, and it's funded by the German and the American government.
Oh, wow. So it's not, it's not funded by the schools or anything?
No, well, actually the students have to pay their share, but we get some money.
That's good. So what is some things that you've noticed like coming over here that are different from German normality life?
Are you talking about difference in school or difference in culture?
Either or.
Well, in school life, it's quite different here. In Germany, we have many more classes every year and a different schedule every day.
Oh, wow.
And I think the greatest difference for the students is that they have to change. They don't change their room every lesson. It's the teachers who walk to the to the students.
Oh, wow.
And so we are running around the whole day and not the students.
Is it kind of nice having to stay in one room instead of?
I think for teachers, it must be really nice to be able to decorate your room and to welcome the students and then have the room for yourself again.
Yeah. And then do you have a home room or something like that? Or is it just every room is shared between teachers?
Like the smaller grades, like grade 5, 6, and 7, they have their home room and they stay in their room and all the teachers go to their room. And on the grade 8 and 9 forward, they just run around in the building for every other lesson.
Oh, wow.
And we teachers, we have one big room where we meet during the break, and it's getting very noisy there. And everyone is talking, and I think that's one thing that's maybe a bit better in Germany. We can talk about the students.
Yeah. Gossip.
Gossip, of course.
No, we don't gossip about the students.
Sure. Is there like a teacher in that room or someone has to keep quieting down all the other teachers or you guys?
Well,
is no one, but sometimes it might be helpful if there were someone.
That'd be pretty funny if you had a teacher for the teachers. what has been one of your favorite parts about the exchange program in general?
For me, one of the nicest things is to actually see how school life is here in the US and how it's different. Because this is my first time here on an American high school, and it's very interesting to see how it's done here and to learn how we can do things better in Germany and learn from the experience.
Yeah, one of the greatest things is to see the German and American kids meeting for the first time and then how they are a bit shy in the beginning and then when there are real friendships developing, and that's the wonderful thing about it, that people from other parts of the world get to know each other.
Yeah, definitely. And is this like a break for you guys? Because I know summer break was when we went over. Did you guys have a break, or are you skipping school?
Actually, we are here for 3 weeks, and we are skipping school for 2 weeks. And right now, in the last week, there is a fall break in Germany.
Okay. I forgot. I probably should have asked this earlier in the episode. But how long have you? Like, is this your first year? Or I know you said your first year, but is it your first year doing the gap exchange program?
Yes, this is my first year doing the gap exchange program, and my third year as a teacher.
Well, I started GAP in 2015 with my colleague, Ms. Lebring, and it's my third time here.
Awesome. So what are things in like Germany that you think are things that you like more in Germany than we do here in America?
You want to start?
Is there a list?
No, but it's hard to come up with it on the spot. Let me think.
Well, maybe the bread.
The bread?
For us Germans, bread is really something important. We eat that in the morning and in the evening. And there are always, in every town, there are bakeries, and you get fresh bread everywhere.
That's definitely something don't have that.
We miss. But on the other hand, you got all other wonderful places where you can eat and have nice dishes. And
yeah, I think it's nice that it's very socially accepted that you just go to a fast food place every once in a while. But on the other hand, I kind of miss the home-cooked meals, like really from scratch, where you don't like buy a lot of processed products. So you just buy your vegetable and then you get going in the kitchen and cook a nice home-cooked meal.
What about the students here? Is there do you think there's a big difference between the two, like students in Germany and students in America, or do you think it's pretty similar?
I think there's of course some cultural differences, but I think the students are not too different from Germany. They have the same problems as the students in Germany, and they have, I think there's students all over the world are pretty. Well, that's a stupid thing to say. Can you cut it out?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I think students all over the world are pretty much the same. They act the same according to their age. They're just the same, but I noticed some differences that I think in Germany during lessons, teachers tend to be a bit stricter with chewing gum. Or with eating in the classroom.
Or like being on a smartphone, that's a little bit different.
We're a bit stricter there, I think.
But I think it's also nice to see that students all over the world are like similar, because they have similar problems, and it doesn't change so much when you visit other countries, that the kids are still the same.
That's kind of nice for an exchange program, especially since like you can notice that like, or I guess the students can notice like, the students are the same here. They're the same people. Obviously not, but yeah. What do you think? So I know that you teach English. Is there any differences between how you teach English to how someone would teach like German? I don't know.
Well, I think one of the greatest differences is that our kids start in second grade elementary school to learn some English. And they have more pressure to be fluent in English than you guys have here. So I think the methods are basically the same, except that we start a bit earlier.
And for our kids, it's very important that they learn English, because English is the world language. And if they want to do anything in a foreign country, they have to speak English. And here you learn German or Spanish or French as a second language, but I think you can get along pretty well with just speaking English.
Yeah.
So the pressure is way, way lower to be like really, really fluent at the other language.
Yeah, sure. What are some highlights of the trip so far? Maybe we haven't covered.
I really like the sports scene here in the US, that it's also a big part of the school, that you go to the games and you support your local school team. And sport is a bigger deal than in Germany. I mean, also football or soccer is big thing in Germany, but you have more different kind of sports and everyone cheers for different kind of sport. And I think it's very, it's way more diverse than we have in Germany.
Yeah. And the fact that here there seems to be a greater school spirit. It's kind of, you have your logo everywhere. You even got your own radio station.
Yeah.
And also for the teams, when they play out in some different town, all the parents and kids go there to cheer. And
yeah.
That's something we don't have, and that I really appreciate that.
Super fun, definitely. I know that, I think that in Germany, you guys have like clubs as your teams, right? So what's the difference between that?
Here, a lot of the sports is organized by the school. So if you're a school team and if you want to do a sport, you do it in the school. And in Germany, it's not part of the school. We have physical education classes at school, but if you want to play soccer or tennis or whatever, you need to go to a club outside of school, and it's more locally organized. So every village has their own soccer team and their own tennis team. So the villages play against each other and not the schools.
Wow. Not much about have you guys gone anywhere else besides Indiana, or is it just Indiana and then back to Germany?
Well, we started with New York. We spent 2 or 3 days in New York with our kids. And basically then we were for 2 weeks in Indiana. Some of our kids made a day trip to Chicago. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, because like part of the program is that really experience the American high school. So we spend a lot of time here, that they have a lot of time in school and experience all the different activities you do here.
How do you guys feel about New York? I know that's like a very big difference from Indiana.
Oh, I like New York a lot, because really? It's the first time I've been like in such a huge city, and it was very overwhelming with all the skyscrapers and so many people. I think it's a very, very nice city and definitely worth a visit.
Yeah, I agree. It's very fascinating. But on the other hand, Indiana, it's kind of a place you're more home.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's very similar to our region, because our kids, they also come from small towns. And so here it's more like feeling at home.
Awesome. Well, that is all the questions that I have. Thank you so much for the interview and coming here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
But that will end my segment of the podcast, so bye-bye. Now here's a short promotion before our next interview.
Welcome to the Arabian Roundup
with your hosts Kennedy Quinn
and Bella Myers.
We are here every Tuesday through Friday
from 5 to 7 a.m. We round up your morning thoughts and discuss the craziest of topics.
Oh my gosh, this is so awesome.
From dad jokes to the latest Taylor Swift songs, we are here to perk up your mornings
here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to another segment of WEEM Weekly. So I know I teased earlier this episode that we might have a guest running it. Unfortunately, I was lying. It is just me again, but I got you guys there. At least I hope I did. I'm Sam Duffer, and I'm joined by...
Mr. Stevens.
So you teach French, right?
I do.
So this is the French segment. I do promise I wasn't lying about it being French. I only lied about one part. So what made you want to teach French?
When I first was deciding whether or not I wanted to be a teacher, it was between French chemistry and English. And French was the number one because I fell in love with the language and culture when I was a student, when I was a freshman in high school. And it was really my grandmother that inspired me to want to teach French, because I grew up hearing a whole bunch of stories of her time when she lived in France with my grandfather during the Korean War. And I got the chance to visit France after I graduated high school, and that solidified really why I wanted to teach French over English or chemistry.
All right. That's actually really interesting. So you've been speaking or taking French since freshman year, right?
Yes. I started a little bit on my own when I was in middle school. I was forced to take Spanish in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to take French. We didn't have an option. So I started learning some French on my own when I was in middle school, but officially in seventh grade, or officially since ninth grade.
Okay.
Yep.
How long have you been teaching it then?
This is my 12th year. This is my fifth year here at Pendleton, and I taught the first 7 years at Delta.
At Delta. We're a better school than Delta.
I think so.
I was about to say, that might just a little bit be my bias talking.
There's pluses and minuses to both.
That's probably true. Actually, no, that is true. I'm not even going to pretend that's not. What advice do you have for students who study or want to study French?
I would say that if you really want to get good, you have to put in a lot of effort outside of the classroom. There's only so much that I can do in the classroom that if you really want to get good, you can start the process of reading something, listening to music. I'm always available to help outside of class because some of the students I've had, they get really good. I help them outside of class. Then we speak about whatever they want, and it makes it a lot easier there. And to just make sure you put in some effort outside of class.
So it's a lot of don't just do what's in class because that's not going to teach you. But you got to, well, I mean, it will teach you. It'll teach you what you need to know. But to get good at it, do more outside.
Yes, because there's only so much speaking we can do in class.
Yeah.
And something that I did when I was a student, it looks kind of weird to your parents and other people, but I would narrate what I was doing throughout the day in French, either in my head. Then when I was at home, I would talk in French and practice that way too.
Well, that's interesting. So it's just constant practicing outside, inside, just constant all the time practicing French.
Yep.
Okay. Do the French classes have an opportunity to go to France?
Yes. So far in my time here at Pendleton, we've had one trip to France. I have another trip to France, Germany, and Switzerland this coming summer. And then there is a France-only trip in 2026 as well. So there's always an opportunity to go to France or France in another country as well.
Well, that's nice. When the students go there, what do they usually do while there?
On our trips, we have a good mix of visiting places like museums, well-known buildings like the Eiffel Tower in Paris. We have authentic food experiences. We've had times where we go to the market where kids can practice their French and then get food that way. Free time to explore whatever they want with an adult, usually. So there's a whole bunch of different things. We do a good mix of touristy things as well as things that they might want to do personally as well. One such example being a whole bunch of kids wanted to go to the catacombs in Paris with the bones. And we talked to our tour director and we were able to do that.
I can't blame them for wanting to go see the catacombs. They always seem interesting.
It's a pretty awesome place.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind visiting myself. You mentioned Eiffel Tower. Is there other landmarks you guys visit, like usually?
Typically in Paris, we would go to the Louvre, the art museum. Something else we would do is Notre Dame, if it's open. It hasn't been open for the past couple of years since the fire in 2019.
Yes.
But once it's open again, we'll go back there. And another place, the Palace of Versailles, is another place that we go quite often. And then something that kids like, we do a river cruise on the Seine in Paris. That way we get to see a whole bunch of Paris at night and the lights and all of that. So those are just some of what we get to see.
Well, that's exciting. You mentioned it earlier. Are there any French books, movies, music that you would recommend specifically?
Music-wise, a lot of my students over the years have liked an artist called Stromae. He has a pretty strong following here in the United States. When he puts out music, he does tour here in the United States, but it is only the big cities of Chicago, New York, and LA, and maybe sometimes a couple other spots. But he has a lot of really good, deep music lyrically. It's dance music, but it's pretty deep. The lyrics are deep, and he has pretty interesting visuals for his music videos that kids tend to like. In terms of books and anything else, what I would recommend is starting out with something you've already read or listened to in English. That way, you're already semi-familiar with the story.
Yeah,
and you can get used to reading it in French or listening in French. And then something else that can help starting out would be comic books, because that way you have some text, but you also have some visuals to help you in case the French is too complicated or too advanced.
Yeah, so you can see along with hear what's going on. So it's not just like you gotta guess. You can see the movement, so you can put the words with it that go with it.
Yes, of course.
What are the differences between teaching a language and teaching a regular class, almost like chemistry or English?
Okay. The biggest difference is I'm teaching a whole different language. While there's language specific to like chemistry and English when it comes to like knowing how to write specific terms and reading literature, like genre and those kinds of words, teaching French requires teaching a whole new language. How to pronounce things, how to different vocabulary, the grammar that's different. So in some ways it's kind of like English, but it's completely different because you have to teach the language and you have to push the idea of trying to communicate whether they're necessarily being 100% accurate. It just takes time. So that's a big difference, is that you're teaching everybody how to speak and write and listen and read. So in a way, it's kind of like kindergarten when you take French 1. You're really learning from scratch, and it's something that's very different than other classes because the language aspect is not really there.
Yeah, so you have to take like almost kids that have learned English for, what, 10, 15 years and teach them a new language as well. So it's kind of like, it's difficult because they want to put English to it, and yet you kind of can't because it's a different language. So yeah. You got to build it up from scratch as if they were raised speaking it, which...
Yeah, and something else that's different would be having the cultural aspect of that. And because teaching a language is more than just learning the words, it's also developing an understanding for the culture and understanding the differences between what goes on here in the United States and what goes on in France or other French-speaking places.
That's true. And speaking of that, what are some of the differences between the French culture and English culture?
One thing is our culture tends to be a lot louder than France. It's not uncommon to see people talking really close to each other, because people don't want other people to understand or hear what they're talking about. And here we have and this is not, of course, not true for every person.
Yeah.
But in general, people here tend to talk a little bit louder, talk a little bit further apart from each other. That's one difference. Something else, when it comes to eating and food, French people tend to spread out their meals and they eat for a longer period of time, because they also view it as a social time. It's a time to talk to your friends, talk to your family, whoever you're eating with. Here, it can be a thing if you eat, like at school lunch, 30 minutes, you eat. Yes, you're with your friends, but it's like pretty quick.
Yeah.
French students, they have a lot longer. They can have an hour or longer for lunch. They have 5-course meals sometimes in their schools. So that's a difference. Also, grading-wise, like in school, the grading system's out of 20, and there's no letter grades. A 10 out of 20 is passing, and there is a lot more emphasis on more difficult tests. Like in a lot of tests, there's a written portion and a speaking portion. So here, maybe a speaking portion may just be for a language class.
Yeah.
But in France, they have to be able to defend their thoughts and basically do spoken essays and almost all of their classes. So those are just some differences.
Yeah, it's almost like the speech class we have here, where you have to make a defense and defend your point of view and such.
Yep, and something that students have to take in France is philosophy. And that's something a class, if a school has it, it's just an elective. But in France, it's something that people have to take, because philosophy is a big deal in France.
I believe that, honestly. I wouldn't know it personally. I've never been, but I do believe that that would be a big portion of their school system and culture and such. Have you ever considered moving and living in a French-speaking country?
Yes.
Really?
It is my goal at some point, probably when I retire from teaching here, to go teach or go to France or go to Quebec, the French-speaking province in Canada, and go there, because I like both places. And I would, since I'm a type of person that doesn't like to just do nothing, I'd probably do something with teaching English in one of the two places wherever I end up after I retire.
That would be really funny. You kind of almost switch what you're teaching.
Yep.
To do the direct opposite. That must be interesting. Well, unfortunately, we have reached the end of this segment of WEEM Weekly, but I do thank you for joining us for this episode or this segment, and you might join us in the future.
Course,
I don't know. We haven't planned that far ahead. But thank you for coming out to join us. And you guys have a wonderful day. This is Sam Duffer tuning out on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.